Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here until 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And then, of course, you can stick around for Len and Lisa Garden Talks back. I wish they had a pool segment. Maybe they can talk about pool chemistry because it's been a bad year so far. Really bad year. Awful.
I used to have a pool, mm-hmm. and I used to test the water twice a day.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I tested to make sure that it was what it was supposed to be.
It must have worked really well, and you tested that often.
Yeah. Well, I used to keep my pool going from early May, so it would be open before Memorial Day.
Yep.
I didn't close it until Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving?
It had a heated pool, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It was nice.
Yeah. The sun heats my pool. You know, the problem is in Southington, there's really hard water, so we have issues with iron and manganese in the water. And we all know about it because it's coming out of the wells that are part of how we get water in Southington, but it's a lot of iron and manganese. And the problem with iron, when it hits chlorine, what happens?
You get rust.
So what turns your water brown when you hit it that way? Chlorine and iron. So anytime I fill the pool up, now I have to use a special filter before I even get it in the pool to take the iron and manganese out so that it doesn't turn the water rust color.
So that's why when you're filling your pool, you got to call Pat the pool.
Yeah, worker. I know. But I can't have him come out for just a little tiny top off. It's just been a nightmare, though, of chemistry. My kids are all mad at me. But I'm trying. A little more information on that poor calendar issue. It looks like Samsung has their own calendar. So it might have been that it was backing up other data in the Google Cloud, but maybe not the Samsung app. So if your daughter was using the Samsung calendar, you're definitely probably out of luck. But if she was using a Google calendar, she should be able to log into Google through a browser. And if she can see the calendar data there, she'd be able to resync it. But if not, then if they did the factory reset on top of that, then even that is out. But I bet she was using a Samsung calendar. So who knows? Let's get back to your calls here. We're going to go to John in Hartford next. Are you going to gloat, John? John, you there?
Yes, I am.
Are you calling to gloat?
No, actually, I'm just calling because I have a question on GoNetSpeed.
Yep. So do you have it or are you considering it?
I am considering it, and I'd like to get your opinion on it.
Call them right now and get it.
Okay.
It's kind of a no-brainer, John. So GoNetSpeed is going to give you, and you don't need anything more than 150 megabits of bandwidth. And that's right. that's their smallest package for residential. It's going to be 150 megs up, 150 megs down for okay. $50 a month, period, okay. lifetime.
Very nice.
What do you have now?
Okay. Frontier.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're going to love this service. What are you paying Frontier now for? I don't even want to guess there how bad of speed.
Oh, I don't recall off the top of my head.
Okay. But yes, if you want a solid fiber connection that's pretty much future-proof, okay. that's going to always be the same price for the life of your when you're there as in your residency mm-hmm. there. Or if you okay. move within, they even said if you move to another town that has GoNetSpeed, I think they'll even still honor your pricing.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm going to get it in Southington as soon as I can, and I recommend everyone jump on it as an alternative. It's great service.
Okay. Yeah, no, I just thought I'd call and find out because, I'd like to kind of do a little bit of research, and I've been hearing a lot about GoNetSpeed. I thought, I'll call you guys and see what you think.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. And if you go online, you'll see a lot of happy people who have it.
Okay.
This is one of those things that if it says it's too good to be true, in this case, it's not.
Okay.
All right.
Understand.
All right, John. Good luck. Enjoy.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it really is a no-brainer. The more competition we get, the better for everybody. It should help bring other internet costs down for everybody. We'll see. Let's go to Ken in Prospect next. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have one update. I had called about a month ago, couldn't get to the next version of Windows. The update was failing.
Yep.
I did some investigation, and Dell wanted me to, reinstall. I didn't want to do that. So mm-mm. I found on a Microsoft thread, there's something called app readiness in the services.
Okay.
I turned that on to be, I think it's called delayed start or something like that, and that seemed to resolve my problem. So just an FYI there.
Oh, okay. So you had an older app that was causing the issue.
I guess so. Yeah, because when I changed that app readiness to a different setting, mm-hmm. It worked. Yeah.
Okay. There's also been issues with Microsoft actually holding back their updates. So even on their own brand new devices, they aren't ready for prime time with the latest 2004 update. So you could have been part of that as well. So it may not have been the app readiness that changed it. It might have been that they finally allowed it to happen. But either way, we're all battling Microsoft.
Okay, yeah. And then my couple small questions. Now that we've all been home and, I've been working from home, everyone's here, the Wi-Fi has been fine, but it seems every maybe couple days or so, the Wi-Fi will just stop on my iPad, I noticed.
Yep.
So I just go in and I turn off the Wi-Fi, turn the Wi-Fi back on with the settings, and it's fine. I've done renew the lease and that kind of stuff, but I'm just curious if there are any setting, like does the router say you've been on here too long and I need to do something, or is it recycling the DNS, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question. So what it probably most likely is a router that's starting to fail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how old did you say it is?
Yeah, it's pretty old. Yeah, it's at least 5 years old, the one I have. It's a Netgear.
Yep. Unfortunately, okay. they just start to show their age, their broadcasts stop happening, and they got to be reset. And what that generally means is you need to replace it. Now, you could also try a firmware update, going into it and kind of refreshing the firmware. That might give it some more life. But if it's having trouble broadcasting, just dropping you like that and a refresh does it, it's a sign of age generally.
Okay, got it. Okay. And my last thing is on Windows 10, when I start up, I have the login, turned off. I don't require the password or any of that. I turn that all off. I know I probably shouldn't, but I've done that. But every probably 10 or 12 startups, I get it asks me for the PIN, which I put in and I'm able to log in. Is that normal, even though I have all the stuff turned off? Does it just say, I want to make sure it's you every so often?
This is for the operating system?
Yeah, for when you start up on Windows 10, it'll ask me for the PIN
Yep.
sometimes. Not every time. but once in a while it happens. Even though I have everything turned off, like don't ask for a password, don't ask for the PIN.
Right. Microsoft is still trying to confirm that you're there. It's you.
You're there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would highly recommend putting a password in.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Do you leave your front door open too, Ken?
No.
Not unlocked?
Yeah. No, I don't.
I mean, Prospect is a very calm place and a very safe place, but I would still lock my door.
Yeah, I got you. All right.
All right, Ken.
Thank you.
You got it.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
See ya. Let's go to Danny in Glastonbury. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, listen, Starlink has their website for the internet service.
Yep.
Started taking applications yesterday, and when I went to sign up for updates and news to see when it's going to be available here.
Yeah.
And I tapped on put in your email, mm-hmm. and my autofill popped up with my email address.
Yeah.
And I tapped on that, and then I put in my zip code. That's the only two things that required.
Right.
And when I hit submit, it said, you must enter a valid email address.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had this problem in the past, but it hasn't happened for a long time, and I never figured out how to solve it.
Yep.
Do you know what causes that?
The people who developed the website have not put your extension in. If you're like, I've had the issue as well. So it depends on the actual website developer, and sometimes they say only these email domains could possibly be email domains. And if you are at cox.net, which I happen to be for another website that we tried to put my email address in, it said it was invalid.
Right. Well, mine's at Gmail, and I mean, it's a first and a last name. It's nothing exotic or with characters or anything weird.
Right. So Gmail should not have an issue. I would assume Elon Musk knows about Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing there could be maybe you've got a space or a dot or something in that field. So make sure you delete and clear that field of all characters and see if you don't miss anything.
Well, I tried typing it in manually. I did refill. I used to have the same email on my old tablet, my old Acer tablet, except the last name I had 1D, and so when I got the new tablet, I put 2Ds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, maybe it would be with 1D, and that didn't work either.
So do you have a Gmail account?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a Gmail account, yeah.
Okay, I have an article here on that.
Oh, really? Well, it's got to be a website issue. It's not his problem.
Well, yeah, but then there's a bunch of things that they have here to fix it.
What?
Can you put it up on the link?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. So there is actually an issue here, but I don't think there's anything you can do, Danny. I think it's nothing you can fix on your end.
Because, I mean, it used to happen, maybe once or every couple of months, and it hasn't happened in the longest time, and I never called about it before, but with the Starlink, so I had to send an email from my wife's Gmail account
and
on her tablet, and it went right through.
Okay, so then it's not their site, and it could be the browser.
Okay, I'm using Chrome.
Yep, if you try Firefox and see if it works, then it's a browser.
Chrome too.
Doesn't matter, it's a different browser on a different device. So you could have a cached issue on your Chrome where it's pre-filling some sort of junk in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, the new Edge browser is Chromium-based.
Yeah, and Google's upset about it. because Microsoft copied them.
Hey, but, did you watch any of those YouTube videos about SpaceX landing
Really exists? Not yet. Not yet.
Well, YouTube has a great one. It's the 5 best SpaceX landings. It's mm-hmm. only 5 minutes.
Nice.
And, back when they launched the Falcon Heavy, the big one a couple years ago, they showed that live where both boosters came back and landed at the Cape side by side. Don't you remember that?
I don't, but I believe you, Danny. And like I said, I have a much more appreciation for Mr. Musk.
You guys like Lennox, right? Did you know that all these satellites, they just put up another 57 satellites this morning at 5 o'clock. That's when I was doing this, trying to sign up at 5 this morning.
Yeah.
But they have Lennox computers in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good. As long as it's not Microsoft.
Right.
If you wouldn't want that. So thank you, Danny, for the information.
Right,
try a different browser. I bet you that'll work.
All right.
So it happened to me too, though, but it was the website side. But I didn't think about the fact that it could be the browser side. So there could be some sort of pre-fill that's occurring causing Danny's issue. But it does happen. Let's go on to Paul in Litchfield next. What's going on, Paul?
Good morning. And just so you know that I also put this issue up on your web, on the Facebook page, too.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot of us, I'm now using these video conferencing services.
Yep.
You name it, I probably got it on my computer. Long story short, I used them earlier this week, fine and dandy. Last night, I called my son on Facebook. I can see and hear him fine. He can see me fine, but he can't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried using, this morning I had to do a Facebook video conference using Google Duo, and same issue. See and hear fine, they cannot hear me.
Right.
I've checked what I think is everything on my computer concerning my microphone, and when I use these services, a little icon pops up that says, Google Duo is using your microphone, Facebook's using your microphone, Zoom is using your microphone. But they can't hear me. What?
Right.
Could you help?
Is it external or is it built in?
No, it's everything on my laptop.
So it's built in.
USB. Oh, you're using a built-in one.
I'm using a built-in one.
Okay. A lot of these times, you can test the microphone before you use it. Have you gone into any microphone testing, even outside of those apps, to see if when you talk, the bars go up and down, actually showing that they hear you?
They do.
They do move.
Yeah.
Huh.
It doesn't work for all the apps. I can tell you that from experience.
All right. So the microphone, though, is picking them up.
Right.
And when you test it, Paul, not within the video conferencing apps, but when you test it on the computer itself.
I'll be flat out honest and say I don't know. So
but we like that. Okay, that's
I'm
better.
On the laptop now. I'm talking to you on my phone.
Yeah.
Within
the control panel, you should have a area where you can actually go to the microphone, and you can test it. You do all sorts of things within that. Within that,
yeah, I've been here.
Okay, so you should be able to test the microphone.
I go to the search bar. I'm using Windows 10, obviously. Yep. I go to the search bar. I type in microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It pops up microphone set up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm staring at a list, and everything says turn off microphone, turn off microphone.
So it's on. We know it's on.
Yeah.
There should be a way for you to test it.
Choose which apps can access your microphone. This is going to take a while. This is not the fastest thing in the world. Microphone access for this device is on.
Yeah.
Allow apps to access your microphone is on. There's a little toggle switch.
Oh, it could be part of security, though.
And then there's a warning about some apps may be able to turn on your microphone even when you don't want it to be turned on, but you know what? No kidding.
Yeah, that's the NSA doing that for you.
Don't talk about my son like that.
Oh, he works for the NSA?
I can neither confirm nor deny that statement.
Gotcha. Well, he should be able to turn your microphone like from where he's sitting. He should be like, okay, Dad, let me just turn that on for you.
I'm looking at this list of apps that can use it. Camera's turned on. I've got Cortana turned off. Could that possibly be it?
No, but it could be that you've got it turned off on the other apps that you're using. So double check Google Duo. Using Duo, are you using any other Facebook? Make sure it's turned on for Facebook and Google because you can actually selectively turn them off.
Okay. So,
by app.
Okay, so if I go to Facebook and I want to let's see, and it's somewhere in those settings.
Yep.
There's a link to turn the microphone on or off or whatever.
Within each app. Yeah, Paul, we're going to put you on hold because I think I have to come up against a break here. I think Matt's probably yelling back in the studio. Let me put you on hold and get back to you.
He's going to need his voice when the new baby's born.
There you go. Okay, I will. We're going to put you on hold and get to a quick break, and then you go look in your apps to see if you've got the microphone turned off, and then we'll come right back to you. Okay, sir? All right, we're going to break for a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and we're back with Paul. Are you still there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so another area we want you to check is if you right-click on the speaker in the lower right-hand corner of your system tray there.
Okay, and you currently turned off because I'm listening to you guys on the phone.
You can leave it off, but right-click on it and do open sound settings.
Open sound settings, yep.
It'll have all this information kind of right there. And if you look down near the bottom of your screen, you should see test your microphone. Now, as I'm speaking, my microphone on my laptop is hearing me, along with your son at the NSA, and you can actually see a little blue line moving. Now, when
next to the speaker, because, as you talk, the little line's going up and down. Like I said, I've got it muted, but the volume is on.
Well, your speaker volume can stay down there. I'm worried about your microphone. So if you look, see the under input, choose your input device. So if you keep going down.
Okay. It is showing me as my microphone as working.
Okay, good. So we know your microphone's hearing you. It's just that the individual applications may be turned off. And that's part of your Microsoft microphone privacy settings would control that.
A little further. I actually found that.
Yeah.
Microphone privacy settings allow access. Okay, microphone access for this device is on.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been here before. Allow apps to access microphone that is turned on.
Yep.
And then it says if an app is using your microphone, you'll see this little cute little microphone icon. I do when it's working. Or when it's theoretically working. And then, like I said, then my next thing down says choose which apps can access your microphone.
Right, so make sure all the apps that you were talking about earlier can use your microphone. If those are still set to yes and it still doesn't work, you might have a bandwidth problem, an internet problem, because we just proved your microphone works because you see the little blue line working.
Right.
And you're going to say your security is set so that you allow the apps to use the microphone. So that's two out of three here. The last step is if you're not able to have them hear you, maybe you're not able to get enough data to have that data broadcast to your son. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that also raised another issue that occurred earlier this week that, for example, when I was using some of the video call services, the voice would come in distorted and robotic sounding.
Yep.
And then I would get this little pop-up to say, you're having connectivity issues.
There it is. Hey, Paul, we're hitting a hard break here, but you just proved that it is connectivity issues, and it probably is bandwidth. But we got to go to a break. Sorry. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. And poor Paul, he ran out of time on the air there, and I could hear the heavy sigh at the very end as far as the bandwidth. So the more we thought about it and the more we went through his troubleshooting, it sounds more like he's got a bandwidth issue. And what does that? He then posted on our Facebook live stream over at WTIC. He goes, I'm back. How do I fix the connectivity issue with bandwidth? So you have to understand how you're connected to the internet. The internet is giving you access to these services. And if the bandwidth is not wide enough to support both video and audio, you're going to get a poor performance. And so a bandwidth would be equated to your download and upload speed. So if you're using a service that only gives you a couple megabits of per second of bandwidth, maybe a DSL line might give you 2 megabits if you're lucky. A cable service can get you upwards of 80 to 300 to 500 to 1,000 megabits a second. You don't need any of that. You really only need about 100 megabits. Fiber, same thing. So what we're saying is if you're having these issues with connectivity, do a speed test on your internet service and see what your bandwidth is. So if your download speed is 5 megabits or 6 megabits, that's your problem. As simple as that. And the way to fix it is to buy more. Don't buy more than you need, but buy more. If you're in the 50 to 100 range, you should have very little trouble with microphones and video at the same time. That's what I tell you. So, sorry, Paul, that we ran out of time, but that's the last piece of your puzzle there is probably just bad internet. Let's go on to Ron in Waterbury next. What's going on, Ron?
I have a question regarding antivirus software for or apps for smartphones, in this case, a Samsung.
Sure.
What would you recommend for that?
Well, ESET has got a good Android-based Antivirus. E-S-E-T.
E-S-E-T. Okay. Now, my provider is AT&T for now. I just got this phone. I don't know what antivirus software they already have on there. Would the ESET override whatever's already on there, or do I have to delete the AT&T apps?
I wouldn't know if AT&T is offering you any kind of free antivirus on your cell phone. I doubt they are, but then again, these things change rather fast.
Okay.
You should see a conflict if you ran ESET. It should say, hey, I see another antivirus on the system.
App, and then I would cancel, I would delete the app that I don't want and put the ESET app in.
Correct, unless, again, if the free one from AT&T is there, if there is one. That's fine, too. There's nothing wrong with that your cell phone if they have one. But I've never heard of the cell companies offering that type of service yet.
Okay.
I haven't heard of it. But
okay. Now, to spell ESET is not hyphen. It's just E-S-E-T.
Correct. And we'll have a link over there at Computer Talk with Tab as well.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Yep. You too, Ron.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Want to refresh the screen there for me, Bob? See how we're standing? All right. I think we're old. Four lines wide open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we're waiting, you did have some Tesla news you wanted to bring up that Tesla's not too happy about.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is a CNET article, links to the Roadshow. Tesla will be included in J.D. Power initial quality survey for the first time, kinda.
Right.
Because Tesla won't grant permission to J.D. Power to survey its owners. The results will be published, but not included in the official rankings.
Right, so Tesla doesn't want to have you tell J.D. Powers how your initial quality is going with Tesla. That's interesting.
So the J.D. Power initial quality rankings are a big deal both for automakers and prospective car buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the brand's popularity, the survey has never included Tesla owners until now. The initial quality survey polls vehicle owners about problems they've had with their vehicles during the first 90 days of ownership, and that data is broken down into a score called the PP100, or problems experienced per 100 vehicles. In order to survey these owners in some states, J.D. Power has to secure the express permission of vehicle manufacturers, all of which have agreed, except Tesla.
Oh, I wonder why.
So now Tesla hasn't miraculously changed its position on the matter.
Mm-mm.
Not that it's that surprising, given the brand's struggle with build quality over the years. So J.D. Power is circumventing the brand and reaching out to owners directly in states where it's legally allowed to do so.
Right.
This change in methodology means that Tesla won't receive an official score in the rankings, but will help be a helpful indicator for those looking to buy one.
Right.
Now, to be clear, J.D. Power hasn't released the results of its survey yet. That won't happen until June 24th during a webinar.
Okay. It's coming up.
But we're very curious to see what the numbers look like and maybe more importantly, what Tesla's reaction to them will be.
Right. And Tesla shouldn't mind this because, you know, they're trying to sell their cars directly, trying to circumvent the dealer system here, even in Connecticut, there's a lot of issues with that. And so having another company circumvent Tesla,
anecdotally speaking,
yeah,
I think that most people that buy the Tesla love them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we'll see what the survey says, right? Survey says?
Here you go.
Isn't that Richard Dawson? Survey says? All right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Marie in Bristol next. What's going on, Marie? Or Mary?
Hi. Hey. I hope this isn't a dumb question because I'm really, really dense about this. But I have a couple of old laptops.
Yeah.
Like my son's very first laptop. I have a laptop that we still have that, you know, I haven't turned on probably in, you know, at least 3 years or so.
Yep.
And also a Google Home device that I don't use. I've unplugged. I mean, we plugged it in once, set it up, maybe had it in, you know, we're using it, quote unquote, using it for a few months. And then we said, we don't need this thing. So we unplugged it and we don't use it. So I'd like to get rid of these things, but how do I for the laptops, I guess it's two different issues probably, but the laptops, how do I safely, I don't know, take out any data? Like, how do I dispose of them, I guess, and how do I don't even know what's out on them that I would still want. Probably some photos, maybe music, stuff like that, but I don't know if there's a safe way to access that information and how to do that.
Well, you could take the hard drives out if you want to play with them that way. You would open up the backs of the laptops and take the hard drives out. You may have to go online to see how to remove the drives. And then you'd have to buy an adapter to plug them into a USB interface that you could then stick on your existing computer. So you could go ahead and access the drives, maybe look at the data in there. Now that you've got just a hulk of the machine left, in that case, you want to bring it to your, Bristol, I'm sure, has a electronics recycling within their offerings when it comes to bulky waste. So you would be able to bring that there.
Okay, so again, I'm feeling kind of dumb asking. I mean, hopefully they're not dumb questions. So
if
you remove the hard drive and you get that adapter or whatever, and then you look to see what's on there, there's no issues with like security or anything like that. It's just you're opening up the data on a hard drive on a different way. Okay.
Correct. You should be able to see it as long as they haven't encrypted the drive with their own security, which I doubt they did because it sounds like they were your kids' devices.
Okay. And then what about the Google Home? Like, do I need to do anything special before?
No. You can just bring it to the same place you're going to dump the laptop.
Okay. So there's no I would have had to connect that to my internet and all that. There's no.
I don't think there's any kind of information within the device. No. You probably did it through your phone, right? You probably connected it and then you logged in through your phone.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure before I go and bring these things somewhere and all of a sudden somebody can access all my.
So on your Google Home.
Yeah.
On your Google Home, you can factory reset it so it doesn't have your settings in it by pressing the on-off button on the rear of the speaker for approximately 15 seconds.
Mm.
And it'll factory reset it so then
you
can dispose of it and it won't be set to what you had it set to.
Right. That's a good way to do it, too, if you're worried about any little settings that are inside there. But I think you configured it most of it through your phone. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, so no question's a dumb question when it comes to computers. I mean, we've been doing this for 25 years, and some of the questions you guys ask, we wouldn't even have thought to deal with them. In other news, all the lines are all jammed up. Sorry, let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Jim in New Britain next. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I'm an old goat. I listen to you every week. Try to pick up little pieces. Bits and pieces from you.
All right.
I got a kind of a suggestion, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
When you're down and looking for customer people to call you for repairs and everything, you're just like going to a school. Some of the terminology in computers that you guys use. If you could once in a while explain what some of some of the terminology that you use, what it actually means sometimes, if you could do that for the people that really don't know that much about the terminology and what I pick up bits and pieces from you, people. I have a tablet that I use, which, I have a question about that also.
Okay.
But if you could explain the terminology, some of these crazy, I can't think of nothing right now.
That's okay. We get your point, and we'll do that. We try to do that. We try to, when Paul asked about what bandwidth was, we just try to define what bandwidth was. But I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, and even some of the simpler things.
Yep.
That you use with computers every day.
Sure. I mean, the term power cycle, I use it all the time here in what I do every day. Power cycling to me and to Bob is to turn it off and on again. But when I say it to my kids, they're like, what?
Yeah, so, exactly.
We understand. Yep, I understand.
Yeah. And a lot of us listen to you and pick up bits and pieces because you really need a laptop. I have a tablet or a laptop. Today you need that. I use a Samsung tablet,
okay.
which I'm learning more and more about it. And it's kind of fun too, and email other people. And
sure.
I still have a small business.
Okay.
I look up on Google and look up and see what prices are and things like that. So,
all right.
But is there a book like for dummies, that type of book out there that you can pick up stuff better and quicker?
Well, there are dummy series, yes. I mean, you can get dummy series for Windows, dummy series for laptops, dummy series for Google. You can find a book for almost anything. I would tell you, though, that, you know, you said you're a little older. You may want to consider your senior center when everything gets back to normal. There's usually classes that many senior centers offer that you can get some real hands-on experience, and I think I'd recommend that. But there are dummy series. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I did a quick Google search, and you can get secondhand PCs for dummies for $388.
$3.
$3, and then there's like thriftbooks.com is $469, and then they sell them for almost $19 on Amazon. So
yeah, but I think working with somebody live is probably the best bet if you had the chance to.
Yeah, because it's much easier learning with somebody.
Yep.
That learning from a book, it's much easier for me anyway, someone showing me than and for instance, like I have a Samsung, I got it from Verizon,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very good tablet. Now, when somebody sends me an email, somehow that email gets stuck into my archives there. How do I get that? Like, maybe they might have called me once or twice. Probably a stupid question, but how do you get rid of that person on your laptop? Is there? I know there's got to be a certain procedure. I don't have a book on it.
Right. I'm not sure what you're asking exactly. So the email comes in, and it's in your email tool. You're looking at the email. You're wondering how to delete the email.
No, not the email. The person that sent that email to you.
You want to delete the contact.
And the contact, contact person.
Okay. You can go to your contacts within the Samsung device. You must have a contact app of some kind built in. You should be able to find that person within your contacts, and you should be able to make changes to the contact information or delete it. That's where I would think you were trying to do that.
Okay. I understand that. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Jim, I got to go to a quick break, but hope that helps you, and we'll do our best to try to define further for folks.
I listen to you every week, and half the stuff I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, well, we're here to help you, and thank you for listening, and we'll try our best to help you with defining some of these terms.
Thanks very much.
You got it. We'll be right back. We are back. We're in the final stretch here. Feel free to get online if you'd like. We'll try to get your call in, but a couple lines open, I guess. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Al and Avon next. What's going on, Al? Al, you there?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you mentioned something about a 2004 update with Windows 10.
Yep.
I'm getting some... not a request to download it. Well, I'm getting the downloads there with an exclamation saying, not available yet, it's coming.
Right, so Microsoft is holding it back because it's not ready for prime time.
So they did say there's a workaround to get it. But
don't do it, trust me.
I take it that, like you've said, from every major update on anything, wait a month or so, 2 months maybe even.
Yeah, and if it's not even ready for their own Surface devices, their own laptops that they manufacture supposedly,
right? And I got an Envy that's only like a year old, and so it's saying to wait on that also. So
I would wait. They really shouldn't have released it, of course, but that's Microsoft. The version I'm running is 1909.
Yeah, that's what I have.
And that's the one I would stay with. I would not try to force any update, and Microsoft shouldn't have released it.
I wouldn't worry if you were one or two versions behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. The other question I have is, Where is there out there? My warranty is expired. You only get a one-year warranty with the HP Envy. And you can get an extended warranty on the hardware, but what I'm looking for is extended help via a warranty of sorts, or if they can remote in if you got a BIOS issue, you got a software issue, things of that nature, that you can do it without any consideration of any hardware, because there is not a hardware issue. I mean, I'm just preemptively thinking ahead. There's nothing wrong with my unit now.
So I wouldn't recommend doing that, Al. I wouldn't prepay for some sort of service at HP that you may not need. However, they will offer you, if you call them outside of a warranty, I think many of these companies offer some level of support where you take your credit card out and give them $40 or something like that.
Yeah, they want $35 initial setup and $14.99 a month. The SaaS model. Subscription software as a service, and
That's expensive. $14 a month to we work for free over here.
Right, and $14-$15 a month in the event something goes wrong, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would also consider you think about your local support folks within Avon. You know, you've got the Staples stores that have a computer help area. You've got, I think Best Buy still has one. You probably have local computer stores in the area. Rather than calling a manufacturer, you could always talk to local folks like that.
Yeah,
TAB does not serve the general public. We only serve businesses, but there are plenty of them out there that serve the general public.
There's no support services such like that national that you might know of or anything like that.
I'm sure they're out there, but I wouldn't recommend you pay that way, where you monthly subscribe.
Oh, no, nothing monthly, but like
the help desk, call the help desk kind of place?
Yeah.
Nothing that rings any bells to me, no.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas about
that? $15 a month. You know, that's $180 a year.
Oh, yeah,
you might use only once or twice, so that doesn't seem like a very cost-effective solution.
I told them that. I said, you know, it's a third of the cost of the machine. I might as well just buy a new machine if anything happens to it.
It all depends on the criticality of your problem.
Right. So, all right. I just thought I'd ask if there was a national hotline where you can get a
just our little show every Saturday for 2 hours. There's your national hotline.
Well, keep up the good work, and I still got your 10-year anniversary T-shirt, a nice one. Gray.
That's cool.
So, yeah, and I think you had a hat 1 year you gave out, too.
We might have. Who knows?
In the old days, yeah. All right.
That's cool, Al.
Thanks
for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this lovely Saturday. I want to thank Mike G. for posting everything live. It'll be over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. I want to thank Matt for producing back there in Farmington. We miss you, Matt. But, you know, hopefully eventually we'll be over in the Farmington studios. But for now, we're in the hermetically sealed studios here at Tab Computer System. And stick around. Dr. Alessi will be up next. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And, of course, you got Garden Talk live again. They'll be back at noon. So stick around here at WTIC.
See you next week.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.